But let's go ahead and pray and just take a couple moments to thank God for sending his son Jesus and for him giving us a living hope. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We recognize that we are here because of you. Jesus, we're here because of you. Father, you sent Jesus. Jesus, you came, you obeyed, you humbled yourself, became a servant. You denied yourself. You took up our cross. Thank you. We're so undeserving. May we be people who see your example and follow your example. We pray. And all God's people said, amen. Well, as Greg said in the announcements, we're in a huge series, 2 weeks, called Dedicated. And so last week, just to kind of do a review, Greg talked about three things that we're dedicated to. 14 years ago, Greg planted High Point Church, and over the years, these are just things that we are committed to be faithful to and dedicated to as a church. And so he talked about the first thing, we are dedicated to the gospel. And if you've been coming for any amount of time, it could be last week, it could be 13 years, 8 years, 6 years, whatever. Pretty much, I think I can confidently say, every Sunday, even with kids programs, you have heard the gospel. You have heard that Jesus came to earth, he humbled himself, came to earth, he walked this world, he went to the cross on our behalf, he died for our sins, he carried our sins in his body on the tree, and he died. But he rose again 3 days later, and God's word says that he ascended to heaven, and he's waiting to come back someday to get us. And so we share that. That's what we do. That's what we talk about. Because we wouldn't be here this morning without that. Amen? So we're dedicated to that. But we're also dedicated to the Word of God. And if you've been coming, you have regularly been in God's Word. We like to pretty much be doing expositional preaching. That's where we go to a book of the Bible and we wade, we walk through. Sometimes it feels like we're sludging through. It's like, how many things can you get, sermons can you get from like 2 verses? Well, sometimes you can get a lot. And so we're just dedicated to the Word of God. Kids, Sunday mornings, we're teaching them the Word of God. Student ministry, junior high, high school, teaching them the Word of God. Men's ministry, women's ministry. We have Bible studies. We have just all over. We are dedicated to the Word of God. But then also we're dedicated to evangelism. Sharing, pointing people to Jesus. And we're expanding in the area of missions. We're doing our thing in Altoona. And then we're supporting people who are doing their thing in Des Moines or in the region or even in other countries. So we're dedicated to that. That's important. And this morning, we're going to look at this idea of being dedicated to discipleship. Dedicated to discipleship. Back in October, I woke up one morning and I didn't feel right. I felt a little off. And so I put on my watch, and I checked my pulse. And lo and behold, my pulse was 33 beats a minute. I was like, I don't feel very good. And so I was like, I better lay down. So I laid down, and then I was like, I better call 911. So I called 911, and I was like, I better call Debbie to tell her that I called 911. She was in the other room because I had strep. And she's like, you did what? I'm like, yeah, they're coming for me. And I'm telling you, they took me to the hospital, and I thought, I was like, oh my word, like, They're giving me nitro. They're like, I'm in the ambulance. I'm like, they're gonna go and zip. That's what I thought. It's like, what is going on? And I remember that night, you know, wondering what's going on, thinking, what if this is it? What if this is my last night? Who's going to follow me? Have I been helping people take my place? Have I been dedicated to discipleship? And I was like, oh. And that kind of sparked something in me. And a few weeks later, this is how God works. A few weeks later, I met a guy named Ryan Johnson. He works with the Send Network. And we were talking about different things, and he was started talking to me about discipleship pathways. I was like, that sounds interesting. He said, hey, if you're interested in that, you can come to a place in Ames, and all day long, we're going to do a deep dive into discipleship. What's happening at your church? What isn't? How can you improve things? How can you grow things? And that was the most amazing time. Oh, my word, it was so amazing. And it sparked in me this thing. How can I bring this back? I mean, we've been doing this, but how can we kind of beef it up? And for the last, that was in February. Since then, I've been deep diving and just kind of thinking and looking and evaluating. And so this morning, we're kind of unrolling some things about discipleship. So a lot of the beginning of this sermon is what I learned in that day. So as we begin, I want to start in Matthew 28. This is what it says. Jesus is talking here. He's getting ready to go back to heaven. And he says, go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you, and remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. He says, go make disciples. The last thing. When people say the last words of before they leave or before they go somewhere, you should listen. And so that just really, it started, oh man, go make disciples. So much is involved in that. And so as we begin, I want to just kind of think through discipleship according to a couple of key figures in the New Testament. And the first key figure, who do you think it is? Jesus. Should start there, right? And so what does Jesus say about discipleship? Discipleship according to Jesus. Well, look here at Luke 9:23. Jesus says, if anyone wants to follow me, follow after me, let him deny himself. Here's the first thing. Discipleship according to Jesus is deny yourself. Deny yourself. Oh, man. You see, everything in my life, I want to be about moi, me, the big D, D-sizzle, right? And so when Jesus opens my eyes and I see him for who he is, and I see me for who I am, and I see my need to repent and to ask his forgiveness and to say, give me salvation, please, please save me. And now I'm following him. To be his disciple is to now deny those tendencies that I want to be first. I want my life to be about me. No, it's about Jesus. So discipleship according to Jesus is denying yourself. But look here, look again here, Luke 9:23. He says, deny him, take up his cross daily. Oh, so he kind of doubles down, doesn't he? Look at that. According to Jesus, discipleship is taking up your cross. Discipleship, according to Jesus, is death. The death of Darren. And now, him living in me. And so now, like, it's so hard. I'm just telling you, it's hard, isn't it? You get up in the morning. What do we want to do today? What do I want to, you know, I'm not talking to myself usually, but, you know, and you're like, oh, I want to do this, I want to do this, I want to do this. And Jesus is like, no, you got to take up your cross. You got to die. You got to die to that. You know, it's interesting. When Paul describes a husband, you know what he says? If you want to be a good husband, you need to be good at dying. Because he says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. How did Jesus prove his love for us? He died. So if you want to be a good husband, if you want to be a good wife, if you want to be a good child, if you want to be a good friend, if you want to be a good if you want to be a good cousin, if you want to be a disciple of Jesus, you have to take up your cross. That's just according to Jesus. Well, let's look at that again. Luke 9:23. He says, take up your cross daily and what? Follow me. Now that's pretty simple, isn't it? To be a disciple of Jesus, follow Jesus. He now comes to the front of the line. We get in behind him and we follow his example and his lead. He says, follow me. Follow me. But then let's go to John 8. John 8:31 says this, Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you continue in my word, you really are my disciples. Okay, that's interesting. Look at the NLT. What does it say? How does it say it? Jesus said to the people who believed in him, you are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings. Okay, so according to Jesus, if you want to be a disciple, you need to continue or remain, or another way of saying it is, you need to obey his word. Like, it's really hard to say you're a disciple of Jesus if you don't obey him, right? And so, man, that makes it hard. It's hard, isn't it? Because there are days when I wake up and I It's fun right now because we have our granddaughters, and they're at the age where they're learning how to listen and obey. And they're learning that just listening doesn't lead to obeying. You see, you can listen, and then you can listen, right? And so it's challenging. Sometimes it's hilarious, and you gotta, right? But can you relate to that? So being a disciple of Jesus, we have to obey his word, but he also says this, look at Luke 14. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoa, that sounds contradictory, doesn't it? I thought Jesus says love everybody. Well, he's using an image. He's trying to get, he's not saying hate people. What he's saying is now that I'm your Savior, now that I'm your Lord, and you're getting behind me and you're following me, put me at such a position in your life. Let me be so high above everything else that when you look at the other relationships in your life, it's kind of like it can't be compared, right? So according to Jesus, discipleship is loving Jesus above anything and everything. And that gets hard. Because sometimes there are things that I love more than him. There are times that I want to worship other things. Because I still have this nature in me that's still, like, I'm his and I'm new, but then can you relate to that? But Jesus is saying, look, if you want to be my disciples, you have to love me above anything. But then look, he goes on, look at this. in Matthew 28, 19 and 20, we started with it. He says, go make disciples. And so I know, like, this is, like, revolutionary. No, it's simple, right? But according to Jesus, discipleship is making more disciples. It's not me keeping it to myself. It's me handing the baton off to somebody else. It's getting to a point where you think, you understand and know that, you know, we're not guaranteed any other day except right now. Like, we're here right now, but something could happen. And so we do our best to make more disciples. Praise the Lord, 14 years ago, people were dedicated to making more disciples because we wouldn't be here, right? So praise the Lord. But let's also look here at the second person, discipleship according to the Apostle Paul. What does he say? Well, it's interesting. Look at, it's 2 Timothy chapter 1. He's talking to Timothy. Timothy is his son in the faith. He is mentoring Timothy. And this is what he tells Timothy. He says, hold on to the pattern of sound teaching that you've heard from me. Timothy, in Paul's second missionary journey, Timothy started to go around with Paul, and he could see what Paul did. He heard Paul teach. He saw Paul get shipwrecked. He saw Paul get beaten. He saw Paul get stoned. Just all these different things. And so you've watched me. You've heard me. You've seen my pattern. Okay? Hold on to the pattern of sound teaching that you've heard from me. So here's the first thing. Discipleship, according to Paul, is following the pattern of Christ and of those who've gone before you. We follow Jesus. We look to Jesus. He's the author and finisher of the race. He's already run it. And so we can look to him and follow his pattern. But then also, there are people who are ahead of us in the race. And so we can follow them as they follow Jesus. Does that make sense? So, excuse me, a part of being a disciple is following the pattern of Christ and others who've gone before you. But here's another one, 2 Timothy 2:2. What you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, commit to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Commit to faithful people. Pass it on to them so that they will pass it on to somebody else. Right? And so, discipleship according to Paul is this, investing or depositing into someone else what you've learned. There's an investment that needs to be made. So, let's define discipleship a little more with three key words. Right? Discipleship, a disciple of Jesus is, first of all, following. Okay, now we're going to get a little nerdy and get into some of the original languages here, okay? So, in the Old Testament, there's a Hebrew word. Now, I'm not going to pronounce this because if there's somebody who knows Hebrew in there, they're going to laugh. Okay, I'm not Hebrew. I'm German and Welsh. Okay? But the Hebrew word has the idea of to follow Yahweh, to follow Yehovah, and to pattern your whole life after his character. And so as we read the Old Testament, we can see people, God comes to people, he talks with them, he initiates a relationship with them, and they begin following him as they walk through life. And they begin to pattern their life after the things that God tells them to do. And they follow, they walk with him. And so you just, Abraham walked with God. Enoch walked with God. You have Jacob and Isaac and Joseph, all these people, Daniel, all these people who walked with God. That's an Old Testament idea of discipleship. So if we look at Deuteronomy 13:4, Moses says, you must follow, that's that word, the Lord your God. So in the Old Testament, following God meant fearing him. It's the same today. We fear him. He's above us. He's beyond us. He's on a completely different page. We are 2D and he is 4D. Like, we're stick figures. And so we fear him. Why? He's our creator. He's our ruler. He's sovereign. And we humble ourselves and we revere him. But also he says, keep my commands. Is it starting to sound, you're starting to catch, it sounds just like the New Testament. He says, listen to me. Worship me. And then remain faithful to me. That's this idea. We see it in the Old Testament. This idea of walking with God, following him. But then in the New Testament, we have this Greek word. And you know what? I'm not Greek. I love Tarpon Springs in Florida. They got great Greek food down there. I'm telling you, if you ever get a chance to go, man, I love that tzatziki sauce, right? But the Greek word is this, to get behind, to follow in the footsteps of. So this following, it's positional, it's habitual, and it's visible. That's key. To follow Jesus is to let him be in front. To follow Jesus is to develop disciplines or habits. And then it's visible. We can't say we're a follower of Jesus and not look like Jesus. Now, we're not going to be perfect. But there's no, like, there should be evidence. You see what I'm saying? So look at these scriptures here. Matthew 4:19, Jesus says, follow me and I will make you fish for people. I'll make you fishers of men. He says in Matthew 16:24, Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wants to follow after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. This idea of following. Now what's interesting is, do you remember in the story when Peter, Jesus was telling the disciples that he was going to die. And it took a while for the disciples to get it. And one time, Peter got upset at Jesus. And he's like, Jesus, I'm not going to let that happen to you. You're not going to die. No. And Jesus says to Peter, get behind me, Satan. In the Greek, that get behind me is the word we just looked at. What Jesus was saying to Peter was this. You're trying to lead me, Peter. You're the disciple. You're the follower. You're in front. Get behind me and start walking as I lead you. You are so out of tune with what I want. You have the same values or the same tactic as the devil. Whoa. So, a disciple of Jesus is following. Of course, that makes sense. But here's the next one. A disciple of Jesus is training. Training. Now, this is a fun word. This is a cool word. I can almost pronounce this. It's probably not going to be right, but I'm going to give it a go. It's gymnazo. This is the word we get gymnasium from. So Paul's word choice is very strategic here. He's being deliberately athletic. Now, you might be thinking, oh, man, I'm not athletic. But it's a great picture, isn't it? Athletic. Training implies discipline. It implies repetition. It implies coaching. It implies failure along the way. So the idea is this isn't passive. It's the sanctifying work of the Spirit. Yes, it is. So Paul says in Philippians, God is the one who gives us the desire and the power to live to please him. So there's a huge, vast array of resources that we get from God. But then I have to bring something to the table. There's an effort. There's a training, right? And so look what Paul says in 1 Timothy 4. He tells Timothy, have nothing to do with pointless and silly myths. Rather, train yourself in godliness. For the training of the body has limited benefit. Paul's not ridiculing training. Okay, so I went to the doctor a couple years ago. I thought I was in pretty decent shape. I had just got done walking with a walker. Anybody remember that? I blew my back out. I'm like, Darren, I'm getting old. And finally, I was starting to feel better, and I was walking a ton. I was walking like 7 miles a day, every day of the week. It was crazy. Like, but it's the only way I could walk. Like, and so I'm walking, and I was getting in good shape, and I went to the doctor. It had been a while, and so I'm like, well, I get a free checkup. So I go in, and they do the blood pressure, and they're like, man, your blood pressure's like 118 over 58. I'm like, oh, all right. That's pretty good. She goes, you know what? She checks a bunch of things, and she's like, let me just do a little blood work. I'll see you in a year. I'm like, okay, right on, doc. See you in a year. Do the blood work. Next morning, I get up, and I see a little message in my my chart. Well, I'll just check the good grade I got. Probably got an A. Open it up, and it's like, you have high cholesterol and high blah, 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 and you got to get on statins right away. I sent an email to Walmart. You got to go and get us. It was like, I was like, what? You know, I thought I was getting an A, and I got a D minus. Like, what is going on? And so, you know, I started to work out more, started to eat better, you know, and yeah, I had to clean some things up. And I've been lifting weights because that's good for your, you know, as you get older, you should keep resistance training. So, you know, I got my 5-pound weights and I'm dancing with. That's good. It's good, but you know what? You know what's even better? Look at the verse. The training of the body has limited benefit, but godliness is beneficial in every way. The Greek word is panta. It's everything. You train for godliness, and you know what? You're going to be a better golfer. You know why I can say that? Because if you golf like me and you shank it, if you're training in godliness, you're going to have a godly response. And you'll be like, praise the Lord. And you'll be a good testimony. Right? If you're training for godliness and you're playing pickleball and you lose, you know what? You're going to be a good loser. Right? You'll be a good testimony. If you're training for godliness and you get out there and you're doing whatever, man, what an opportunity for people to see our lives as we go through difficult times. And they're like, how are you doing? Well, you know what? I've been training for hard things, and hard things are happening. And all I know is this. All I know is this, that God is my source of comfort, and I run to him. He's my tower and refuge, and the whole world could be falling apart, and literally my house could be falling apart, or my loved ones could be dying, and I still can trust him, and I can still rest in him because I'm just training. Amen? Godliness benefits everything. Everything. Wow. Look, let's look at 2 Timothy 3. All scriptures inspired by God is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness. Why? So that the man of God, the woman of God, the student of God, the junior higher of God, the sixth grader of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. 1 Corinthians 9. Don't you know that the runners in a stadium all race, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way to win the prize. Now everyone who competes exercises self-control in everything. They do it to receive a perishable crown, but we an imperishable crown. And look, he goes on. He says, so I don't run like one who runs aimlessly. There's some funny videos on YouTube. There's this lady, I don't know her name, but they have this video, and you see these people on like these bike trails, running trails, and she comes running, and she's like running really weird. And people are looking at her like, what in the world? Paul's like, I don't run crazy. I train myself so that when I walk and when I run and maybe when I crawl, I look like Jesus, right? He says, so that after preaching to others, I myself will not be disqualified. Discipleship is training. This is the hardest thing. A couple of years ago, I wanted to do hard things. And I started to do some hard things. And then you know what? I had a cataract surgery, got the flu, got sick, tore my retina. That was the worst. 2.5 months. I think I've shared it just face down. Hello, everybody. That was the worst. And then a couple months later, blew my back out. A couple months later, go to the doctor. You got to be on statin. A couple months later, go to the hospital. Think I'm having a heart attack. And Caleb goes, you know, Dad, a couple years ago, do you remember you said you wanted to do hard things? Maybe God was preparing you for the last year and a half. Mike, Caleb, you are so right. Are we training? Here's the next one, investing. This is where it gets cool. The Greek word has the idea of banking, stewardship. It involves transferring assets to someone else for safekeeping. We kind of looked at it, 2 Timothy 2:2. What you've heard from me, commit to faithful men. Matthew 28:20. Teach them to observe everything I've commanded you. So here's a key insight. Paul was telling Timothy that he wasn't the owner of what he'd received. He was a steward of it. And stewards transfer assets to others for safekeeping. I worked for 10 years up in Marshalltown. And great opportunity. And the second boss, he was in charge of all of North America. And he would come to us and he would say, hey, Darren, if you won the lottery or you died, does anybody know what you do? You do some amazing things around here. If you weren't here tomorrow, what would happen? That's pretty good, isn't it? I want to know what you do, and I want to make sure that you're telling other people how to do what you do. That's investing. We do it all the time. We do it all the time. Right? I was a coach for 20 years. I played soccer in college. Played it all growing up. Taught kids how to kick a ball, how to head a ball, how to score, how to play the game. Sports are great. Godliness is greater. Right? So how would I apply this? You know, I was thinking, if Jesus came this afternoon to me, if he came this afternoon to you, and he's like, hey, I want to do a review. Let's do a year-end review. Anybody ever had a year-end review? Those are fun. Okay, Jesus. Like, I think it would be fun to do a year-end review with Jesus. Hey, let's go out to the patio. Darren, let's sit down. You know? So I have a question for you. How are you doing following me? Well, sometimes I'm out in front. Sometimes I pick what I want over what you want me to do. You know, Jesus, I gotta repent. I need to get behind you. Maybe that's you this morning. So Jesus is like, okay, hey, you know, man, so how about training? Are you trying hard things? Are you really getting experiences where you have to trust me and you have to rest in me? These different things are coming your way. I'm allowing them into your life. Are you seeing me as your comfort? Are you seeing me as your tower and refuge? Are you seeing to me as your strength, or are you trying to do it all your own? It's like, ooh. Well, you know, I come on Sunday morning, but I don't have time to, or you know what, hey, you know what, church, now High Point Church has two services, so I can go to two services and get some training. Well, that, you know, okay, praise the Lord, but there's other ways to train, right? Then Jesus is like, hey, how are you doing investing in others? Whoa. Well, I coach. Okay, great. Coach softball, basketball, baseball, pickleball, whatever. I teach people how to cook pizza. I love making pizza. Okay, but how are you passing on the spiritual things that I've taught you? Right? And so to help you, we have worked, and I want to just kind of quickly lay out these discipleship pathways. This is a brand new thing. Okay, we've been discipling people, but we kind of want to take it to the next level. Okay? This can be personal. It can be getting together with one or two or three or five other people. It could be in your connection group or small group. It might be a class that we offer sometimes, okay? We're not like, you see the beauty of the opportunity here? But here's the first one. The first pathway is this, exploring. Maybe you're here this morning, and like I said, something happened in your life, and you're like, I'm going to go check out this castle building. Maybe you lost somebody. Maybe you lost your job. Maybe just the last couple months have been, and it's like, oh man, I feel like there's something more to life. I need to explore that. Well, we invite you to explore. I mean, we want you to explore. So look at this. We would love to connect with you. If you can scan this code. It's a safe code. We use a very special software. It won't, you know. And let us know. We would love to connect with you to help you explore Jesus, to help you explore God's word, to help you explore what God wants you to know about him, about you, and how he changes everything. And we have two different studies. One is exploring Jesus, and another one is gospel and identity. They're both 6 weeks. We have them out on a table. If you want to take one, take one. But I encourage you, if you take one, find somebody maybe who's down the road a little bit more and do it with them. Maybe two other people, maybe four or five. We'll have a class someday. But exploring. Here's the next one, following. Okay, so I've explored and I'm ready to like humble myself, and I see my need for Jesus to be my Savior, and I put my faith and trust in what he did to forgive me, and now I need to know, what does it really look like to follow him? I need to build a foundation. And so we have a 12-week, two volumes of 6 weeks where you can get foundationally, you can start to build something to really stand on. Find somebody who's a little farther ahead than you and say, hey, would you do this with me? Get two or three people, get a small group, get a group of men, get a group of ladies, students, whatever. If you want help, ask any of the pastors. We'll have a class someday, okay? Here's the next one, training. Okay, I've explored and I have a pretty good base, but now you know what? It kind of resonates with me. I kind of want to know how to handle the difficult things, and how do I handle the tough times, and how can I really train to kind of really get some spiritual muscle? And so we have four tracks or classes. 12 weeks, 8 weeks, 10 weeks. And you can go out, you can get it by yourself and do it with a couple other people. We're going to have classes, okay? You can do it with your small group. What? But we want to encourage you to know how to train. Some of that stuff is so good. Theology, a whole 12 weeks on different theology. 8 weeks on what it means to build a worldview biblically and how I live that out at work, how I live it out at home. Really cool stuff. What does it mean to pray and meditate on God's word? There's a spiritual discipline track. But then maybe you're at the point where, man, I'm so blessed by God, and I want to start investing. That really resonates with me. God's taught me some things, and I just kind of want to pass it along. I feel God, and so there's an investing. And you can learn how do I help people when they're struggling, and how do I point people to specific scripture, and how do I walk through these things when somebody's really struggling, and how can I really invest in somebody else? So if you're interested at all, we would love to help you grow. So you can take your phone, you can say, let us know. We would love to partner with you. But here's the last image I want to leave with you. It's not four separate circles. It's like a concentric series of circles. And so if you're exploring, our hope is that you come to know Jesus as your Savior and you're like, hey, I want to follow him. And so you go to the next circle. And you get a foundation and you learn how to follow Jesus. And then you're like, hey, you know what? I want to train. And so you go to the next circle. But you know what's cool? If you're in the following circle, you can reach back to somebody and help them explore. Amen? Anybody can tell people about what Jesus did for them, yes. But if you go to the training, you should reach back to the explorers and you should reach back to the followers. But then you go, hey, I want to go to that middle circle. I want to invest. Well, if you're an investor, you're living in all the circles. You're helping other investors invest. You're helping people explore. You're helping people follow. You're helping people train. See that? That is making disciples. That is what we want to be dedicated to at High Point Church. Amen? So if you have any questions, I'll be out at a table out here to the right. I would love to just kind of explain this or answer any questions after. Sound good? Let's pray. Let's stand. We'll pray. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you that you call us to make disciples. Help us to be faithful. When we fail, may we repent and get back in line behind you. Help our church to be faithful, to be dedicated to the gospel, to the word of God, to evangelism, and to discipleship. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.